Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Why was Jesus born? According to Scripture, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, often celebrated as Christmas, is the proclamation of the gospel, which is the good news that God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Through God's grace, sinners who repent and place their faith in Him can receive forgiveness and enter into a relationship filled with love, hope, and joy. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21 as we rejoin Pastor Ray Viola's discussion of the first 8 verses.
The New Jerusalem is going to be the dwelling place throughout eternity for the saints of all ages. It's actually fulfilling the hope, the promise made to Abraham and the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11. We see in Hebrews 11, beginning verse 10, this is Abraham. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength through conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, for God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Notice those who had this hope of the New Jerusalem, they saw their lives on earth. They said, we are just strangers. We are just pilgrims. We are just passing through, beloved. And the Bible says that our days on earth are like a shadow. They're like a tale that is told. It's just a short period of time that you and I are on earth. And here we are this morning, the first day of December 2024, here on earth, but awaiting for the kingdom to come, awaiting for that time when we will be with the Lord in that new city. Hebrews 12:22 says, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What a place we're going to. What a place. Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels. The place where all of the redeemed for all time are going to be gathered. It's going to be a time of worship like never before, a time of celebration like never before. As we will see in a couple of weeks, the former things passed away. No more death, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more elections. Thank God for that. oh my, the former things passed away. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, the New Jerusalem was described by Jesus as the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. Spectacular. The New Jerusalem is the habitation. It's the eternal home that is prepared for the church. It's the place where He will dwell with us and we will dwell with Him. In John chapter 13 through 17, we have what is known as the upper room discourse. Jesus is now nearing the end of His earthly life. He knows that very soon He's going to be offered up as a sacrifice for our sin. And He has this time now with the 12, Of course, we know Judas, the transgressor, leaves. And Jesus speaks these words about this place in John chapter 14. You know them, but let me read them to you. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A couple of things here that I want to point out, beloved. Jesus says there in verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. A mere human being couldn't make that statement. If I were to say to you this morning, believe in God and believe in me, boy, oh boy, you guys couldn't get out of here quick enough. Only God can make this statement. In fact, in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis makes this comment. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You cannot be neutral about Jesus Christ. And you and I know that there's a lot of talk about Jesus this time of year. There's many people who talk about Jesus. The question is, are they talking about the Jesus of the Bible? Or are they talking about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit? Jesus says to these men, don't let your heart be troubled. He knows that their hearts were troubled, that they were disturbed, that they were terrified, that they were agitated. He tells them three things in verses 1 and 2. He says, I'm leaving you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I am coming again to take you home to be with me forever. And he says that to comfort their troubled hearts. But may I declare to you this morning, beloved, that Jesus not only spoke that to comfort them, he spoke that to comfort you and I. You see, these men were going to suffer martyrdom, except for John. Jesus says, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you for a purpose. I'm leaving to go and prepare a place for you, for me, and I'm coming again to take you home. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus ends before he prays his high priestly prayer in chapter 17. He says these words, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm going to ask you a question. I know the answer. Is it true that in this world you have tribulation? Difficulty? Agitation, things that trouble you, things that disturb you, death, all of those things that we read about, death, sorrow, crying, pain. In this world, there's tribulation. You don't have to pray for it. It just happens. It just comes our way. But Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And of course, you and I are going to have tribulation, intensified tribulation, as we relate to Jesus Christ in this fallen world. The intensity of persecution, beloved, is going to increase, not decrease. He says, but be of good cheer. What? He's overcome the world. He's obtained the victory for us. He's overcome the world. He's going to prepare a place for you and I. Beloved, no matter how dark or dismal things were going to get for the disciples after Jesus went to heaven, and no matter how dark and dismal things may get in this life for you and I who have chosen to follow Jesus as Lord, this promise of him going to prepare a place for us and returning to take us home with him is meant to give us comfort and peace. The best is yet to come, believe it, beloved. You believe that? the best is yet to come. For this promise means that as sure as Jesus came the first time to redeem us, he is coming again to take us home, and we are going to be with him forever. We are going to be a part of the most glorious worship service, and it's just going to last forever and ever and ever. Imagine being there. Have you ever thought about being in heaven and worshiping God with all of those that are redeemed? You know, there was a couple of months ago that when Dylan was teaching on a Sunday morning, he exhorted us that we should be thinking about heaven at least a half hour every day. Was it a half hour, Dylan? But you know what? I said, wow, that's good advice. And so I've purposed, by the grace of God, every day to think of heaven for at least a half hour. I should probably think about heaven more, because as soon as I stop thinking about heaven, I realize that I'm here on earth and I'm longing for heaven. You know, it's like when you have your devotions in the morning and you feel really, really spirit-filled. Yes, Lord, and then you see the first person and you realize how unspiritual you are. There's a place that we're going, but it's not the place. It's who is in the place. We're going to be reunited with our King. There's a lot of people who would want heaven, but don't want to have anything to do with Jesus on earth. Right? In fact, they want all that earth can give them. They don't want hell, but they don't want heaven. They just want a lot of earth. You see, we want to be in heaven because that's where we're going to see our Lord face to face. Have you ever thought about what that's going to be like? Seeing the one who redeemed you face to face. Oh, boy. Incredible. Incredible. He came the first time to redeem us. But that was a reminder that he's coming again the second time without sin unto salvation. And that's where you and I are given opportunities. And we need to see them as opportunities to share the gospel. How many of you for Thanksgiving had a mixed multitude at your house? I mean, talking about believers and unbelievers. We did. We have another one today. Today is Thanksgiving 2. And we will have a mixed multitude. Now, with our mixed multitude, they've got some weird spiritual beliefs. Okay? And they've got philosophies that are simply not biblical. But as I was sharing with you last week, does the weight of the fact that if they die without Christ move you enough to share the gospel with them? You see, the weightiness of the gospel, the weightiness of Christ coming again. He will be the judge of all. We are going to be with him in glory. They're going to stand before the great white throne judgment, where they will be judged by their works, and not a single one obtains salvation, because it's only by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And so begin to see those opportunities with your co-workers, with your neighbors, with those that you will be gathering together with that are not saved. Those are opportunities for you and I to love them with the love of Christ and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Thank God for that. Remember, there was somebody who prayed for you and somebody that came into your nasty world and shared the gospel. And that's why you're here today. And never doubt the power that is in the Word of God that you've been sharing with people. I heard the story of some people that were sharing with a medical doctor who's actually a celebrated heart surgeon. And this heart surgeon didn't believe in creation, didn't believe in the gospel, but there he was. He had just performed a heart surgery, but what happened is that the person that he was performing the surgery on died. And he was so troubled by that. And he goes and he takes his scrubs off and he says, this is not so. This should not be like this. This is not supposed to happen. And it came to him, the gospel that was shared. God didn't create us to die. Death is because of sin. And there, as he's taking off his scrubs, he remembers the gospel that was preached to him. He got on his knees and received Jesus Christ as Lord. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Never, never underestimate the power that is in God's word to save the people that you are praying for. When you and I place faith in Jesus Christ, because of Christ, our great high priest, we have been given access to his throne of grace and mercy. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says this, beloved, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, I can't tell you how many times those scriptures have been a source of comfort and encouragement to me. No doubt to you as well. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, right? He is seated at the right hand of the throne right now. There's one ruling this universe. Just look at all of the times there's reference to the throne, and one sits upon the throne. The one who sits upon the throne, the sovereign one, is our Redeemer, our Creator, our God. And Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And in this day and age of former things, we now have access to him. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you'll never get voicemail from heaven saying, I will answer your call in the order for which it came in. Imagine being a phone operator in heaven, like the old phone operators. Remember, if you're my age, you're plugging it. We have access to God right now. Do you take for granted the fact you have access to God? You and I have the ability to come to God Almighty and offer up prayers and supplications with thanksgiving unto him. And God can change things in a split second. We have access to the throne of God. He knows how you feel. He knows your troubles. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. And we can go to him and find grace and mercy in time of need. That could be any time. It could be noon. It could be 3 a.m. It could be any time. Access to God. Isn't it wonderful to have access to God? That we can come to the Lord this morning. We have a high priest in the heavens. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This morning we're going to be breaking bread. And the scripture that jumped out to me this week was 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's the Father, how he made Christ to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And there's so many Old Testament passages that point to Christ being made sin for us, becoming the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I think probably one of the most shocking things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount after he gave the Beatitudes was this: for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, think of this. Here you and I are sitting there 2,000 years ago, and Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. The majority of the people would be thinking like you and I, are you kidding me? These scribes and Pharisees, I mean, they are holy on steroids. They're observing days, and they're observing all of these things. And you expect me? You expect us to exceed what they do? Well, the key there is the word exceed in verse 20. That word actually means unless your righteousness is deeper than the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You see, because what you and I need to enter heaven is have our sin forgiven and a new heart. Religion, outward religion, doesn't give you a new heart. Outward religious practice doesn't forgive you of your sin. Christ forgives you of your sin. And when you repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He imparts the righteousness of God to you. You are now in right standing with God. John MacArthur said, God treated Jesus on the cross as if He lived your life so He could treat you as if you lived His. What a divine exchange. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if He had done all the sinful things we have done. And when we believe in Him, God treats us as if we have done all the righteous deeds that He is. You see, if you intend to go to heaven, you need the righteousness of God. And there's a lot of people that will give you reasons why they're going to heaven. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. No, you really don't. There's only one who really did perfectly, and that's Jesus, right? Well, I go to church, and I do very, very philanthropical things and everything. It's salvation is not what you do. It's what God has done for us. That's the Christmas message, that God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that we, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, would receive the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, He didn't come for the righteous. You know why He said that? Because there aren't any. There's only people who think they're righteous. But you and I this morning are now in Christ, we've received the righteousness of God, and that's what we are going to be celebrating this morning. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. As we prepare our hearts to observe the Lord's Supper this morning, these glorious promises that we have heard of Jesus' first and second coming reminds us once again that the power of saving faith does not lie in ourselves. It's not even in our faith, but it's in the grace and mercy of God and in the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who died for us in order that we might one day be united with Him in glory forever. What a beautiful promise. Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe it in your heart? A Spirit-inspired revelation and understanding of the first and second promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the very source of courage and peace in this crazy and unpredictable world that you and I live in. That's the only source of peace, the only source of comfort, the only source of hope. No matter what happens to you and I in this world, beloved, the biggest issue in this life and in eternity to come has been forever settled. That promise of Romans 8:28, and all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Yep, the best is yet to come. Do you believe that this morning? See, because Christ, Emmanuel, has not only come to redeem us from the debt and penalty of our sin, He's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, our final destination and dwelling place with Jesus Christ, and our heavenly Father's house is safe and secure. We are kept by the power of God unto that salvation. Is it just me, or is the world that we live in getting darker and crazier? It seems like hopelessness is off the charts. And that's why Christ gave the Great Commission to you and I. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't tell our senators, unless they're born again. He didn't tell our president and his cabinet, unless they're born again. He tells us, you go into all the world. You preach the good news. The gospel is good news. Smile, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word.
Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.